Today's daf in Yerushalmi Shviit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf men. Let's do from the Gemara after the Mishnah on daf Lamed Tet, where we were talking about various things that you're not allowed to sell to people that are choshed ala shviyas, and these are all kinds of kalim that would be used to do things that are usher on shviyas. So Amar Rabbi Yonah, the Mishnah that it says over here, the things that you're not allowed to sell, is Elu Kelim She'en Ha'uman Rashay L'Mochram B'Shviyit L'Chashud Ala Shviyit. Don't think that the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to sell these things to anyone. It's saying you're not allowed to sell these things to people who are choshed on being over on the Dinim of Shemitah. But to say Stam, you're not allowed to sell to a person, that's not true. If we know that a person is Zohir on Shemitah, so of course you're allowed to sell it to him. Okay, but what about if we don't know anything about the guy, asks the Gemara? We have no idea whether he's careful about the dinim of Shemitah or he's not. What would be the din then? Stoman Mao. Well, from the very fact that the Mishnah says, Mimandatani, Le'isr u'laheter mutar, didn't the Mishnah say that if you don't know what this person is going to be using it for? So this is the type of kli that could be used to be mechalal shmita, or it could also be used for other things that have nothing to do with the isurei shmita. And it says, if you're not sure, then you're allowed to sell it. Okay, so what does that tell you? That tells you that the only time that the Mishnah has asur things is where you are specifically knowledgeable that it's going to be used for Iser. But Hada Amra, Staman Mutar, if you don't have a reason to believe that this person is going to be doing something wrong, then absolutely you don't have to worry about it. That seems to be clear from the Mishnah. Now it says that if you're a manufacturer of pots, you're a potter, so then you're allowed to sell a person five types of kadim that are good for shemen, and 15 types of kadim that are good for yayin. Because that is allowed to be collected for your own personal usage, and therefore there would be no iser. But why aren't we worried that the guy is fooling him, and that he intends to use all of these containers he intends to use for shemen, which would be iser, gomer. You don't need that amount of shemen. So then you would be taking in shemen that belongs to shemitah and is supposed to be left outside. So how do we know he's not lying? Maybe he's going to use the shemen for the yayin, or the yayin for the shemen. Amar Rabbi Yonah, you don't understand. It's not what he says. It's the type of kli that we're talking about. The different types of kadim are shaped in different ways. Nikarotein, elo shel yayin, elo shel shemen. You can easily see which is which. They're not easy to switch the usage, because they are constructed in ways that make the wine ones appropriate for wine and the oil ones appropriate for oil, as Rav Barnea has explained to us in the past, and therefore we don't have to be chayshish. Omer Rabbi Ula, idra de ilin chachima, ve idra de ilin chachima. Now this is a little bit of an unclear issue. Idra de ilin chachima means, and literally, which doesn't seem to make sense, that you can tell the type of leather on this type from the type of leather on that type. Now, there is no leather that we know of that it would be referring to, unless Rav Barnea can enlighten us. And therefore, most of the Mefarshim learn that this is just another way of saying that the surface, meaning the type of material and its level of absorption and protection, is very different in the type of cheres that's used for the wine ones and the type of cheres that's used for the oil ones. So the Gra seems to take this seriously. In other words, that Ula is not restating the first thing. Ula is not just restating it. He's saying that it's a different thing. And he seems to be talking about a literal leather, which doesn't make any sense. So I was thinking that perhaps what the Gra is saying is that it is a machlokas. Rabbi Yonah was saying that it's the shape that is sufficient, which is what we were talking about earlier. Whereas Rabbi Ula explains, look, you might be able to fool a person about the shape, But lamaisa, if you analyze the material of the pottery that's used, they're finished differently with different rates of absorption and protection of the material that's in them. And because of that, you can easily tell the difference even if they don't look different. But the material is recognizably different. And because of that, we know that he's not lying to you. Continues the Gemara, now in Daf Mem. You're allowed to sell to Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. When it says you're allowed to sell, it doesn't mean you're allowed to sell what you're allowed to sell to a Jew. It means you're allowed to sell to a Goy without any limitation. Afilo yoter mikan. You're allowed to sell as much as they want. And we're not afraid that they're going to turn around and they're going to sell it to Yisrael, which would cause them to do Yisr. And you can sell to a Jew in Chutz La'aretz. And this, too, means you're allowed to sell him even the type of material that might actually be re-imported in Eretz Yisrael, meaning you can even sell him the type of kadim that are konui ba'aretz, so these are Israeli kanim, which could easily end up back in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what people would have wanted to use to store. We're not cheshish that he's buying in Chutz La'aretz in order to re-import into Eretz Yisrael. Beit Shammai Omrim, so Beit Shammai says like this, even if you're talking about the type of cow that does Harisha, that's a pretty strong cow, and Gavi is very careful today not to bump into any of those cows. Actually, maybe during the winter time, they're actually not out there. I don't know, Gavs, keep an eye open. So if you've got one of those types of cows, Beis Hillel says, hey, look, you're still allowed to sell it, even though it's the type of cow that does Harisha, because just because it does Harisha doesn't mean that it's not edible. So, you know, you might be selling it to him in order for him to be Sheichet. And since we said before, unless you know for a fact that something is going to be used for Isser, it's not a problem. Here, you certainly don't know that for a fact. And because of that, you can shecht it, whereas Beit Shammai says, no, you can't. Now, there's a machlokes amoroyim that seems to be nogea exactly this issue. Here it says, it's interesting that it's nogea or sugya a little bit in Baba Kama, hamocher shor l'chaveiro v'nimtzam nakchai. So let's say you sell a shor, and it turns out to be a dangerous shor, and it attacks other shvarim. So Rav says, look, this is a mekach tos. I mean, the guy has a right to get his money back. So I didn't buy a shor that I'm going to have to be worried about attacking all of the shvarim in the area, you know? Whereas Shmuel says that the seller can always say, I don't understand. You didn't say that you need it for plowing. I sold it to you for eating. You know, I was supposed to know that you, without your telling me. So I didn't in any way violate the terms of our sale. And therefore, you can't claim that you want your money back. So now the question is man on kayami. So what are we talking about over here? Is the person that bought it, is he an oris? And the seller knows that that's his business. His business is that he uses shvarim for plowing. So then, I mean, everybody would agree in that case that it's clear the purchase was for harisha. If this guy is a butcher, so the purposes are clearly for shechita. So of course he can't say, I don't want to keep it around. We're talking about over here that he sold this shor to a cattle dealer, right? Okay, so now the cattle dealer, he sells to all kinds of people. So I have no idea whether this was purchased for an order that had come in from Shochtim, or this was purchased in order to sell at auction for farmers. Fine. So the guy claims, well, you know, I had farmers that wanted it, but they're not going to buy because it's a knock and I want my money back. Okay, so in that case, we have no information. So Rav says it's a mekach tos. Shmuel says, you can always say that I gave it for shechita. You didn't say to me that you need it for plowing. Now, the problem is that we seem to have a complete reversal of the halacha according to Rav and Shmuel. Michla fashitasi to Rav and Michla fashitasi to Shmuel. Because it was a machlokas in Erechin. What's the din if somebody sells a soda during Yovel? Is that a joke? Because the Sada is going to go out during Yovel. So as soon as it is bought, it's no longer his? Or is it an actual sale and he gets to keep the money? So Rav Amar, look, the guy knows that Yovel is Yovel. He sold the field. A guy bought a field. So he obviously bought it in order to give money to the seller as a gift, you know? So it was Kana. He's Kona, that field, and it immediately goes out back to the owner. Where Shmuel says, but that's ridiculous. Who would buy a field in order for it to leave his rishus immediately? So here's the problem. They're contradicting their shitas in the sugya that we just had about the cow. Because in the case of Yovel, Rav says, I mean, no normal person would buy a sada just for one moment. And he says, Afapik and Yerkaina. And over here, he says that, well, you know, most people wouldn't buy a shor that is found to be a Nakhan because they would want it to use it for plowing, and you can't claim that you sold it to him for shechting. Now, how do you explain that? Nah, come on, that's not a big problem at all. I mean, over there, when it comes to Yovel, nobody can claim, oh my gosh, I had no idea that it was, of course, I never would have bought it if it... That's crazy. Everybody knows it's Yovel. You can't say you had no idea that you were going to lose the field. So therefore, you must have originally intended to give this guy a gift, and you wanted him to have the money for the field, and then you changed your mind. Mashenkin over here, where the shore was Banana Khan, why would I say that everybody, it's clear that that's what he was buying the shore for? Over here, maybe it is a Bekachtos. I mean, I have no reason to say that it was bought for Shechita. And Shmuel also contradicts himself, does he not? In the case of Yovel, Shmuel says, well, he's not Kaina. And there's no Mechira at all. The money is just given back. And here, when the shor is found to be a Nakhan, Shmuel says, even though most people are not going to buy a shor that's a Nakhan, Shmuel says, well, you know, maybe he wanted the shor for eating. Says the Gemara, this is also not a big problem. Because, look, what is a person selling a field for? He's selling it in order to work the field. I mean, what else are you buying this field for? To sit around and look at the ground? So it's obviously for Zriya, and he's not going to be able to ever be Zoreya it because it's going to go out of his rishus. So maybe he didn't know. Mashenkin over here. The seller can still claim, you did not tell me that you wanted the shor for purposes of plowing. And therefore, I sold it to you for shechita. If you wanted it for plowing, you should have said so. Okay, but there's another very funny thing over here, because it turns out that Rav is going like Beit Shammai. And Shmuel is going like Beit Hillel, because Beit Shammai is the one who says that you're not allowed to sell a person a cow, even a cow that could be eaten, because if it's a gavi kind of cow, so then it's obviously going to be used for plowing your field. And because of that, you're selling a person something that is usher for him to do in Shemitah. Now, I mean, couldn't it be said that the cow is being purchased not for plowing and that he's going to eat the cow? Nonetheless, Beit Shammai ushers it. Well, that's exactly what Rav is saying over here. He's doing exactly what Beit Shammai says. You've got to assume that a cow that actually does harisha is not going to be shechted. If you're going to use it for harisha. Ben Rav says precisely that. That you can't claim that it's a good sale because the shor was being sold for shechita. Most people buy a shor for harisha. That's like a plowing cow, a male cow. So apparently Rav is going like Beit Shammai, and Shmuel is going like Beit Hillel, which of course is intolerable. Says Gemara, yes, Rav ke Beit Shammai, that's kepashtas. However, the moment that you ask, and what would Beit Hillel say about this, he could end up saying, here Beit Hillel would agree. Afilu yisbor ke Beit Hillel. Let urcha masha tatin yumin. A guy buys a shor in order to shecht it. What does that mean? He's going to take it and shecht it today? I mean, these shechtim, they buy in advance. So it could take him up to 30 days. He's going to be keeping the shor in his field, meanwhile, before he gets around to the shechita. And what's going to happen if during those 30 days the shor is going to go around and damage everybody's other shor? So for those 30 days, if it turns out to be a dangerous shor, that's not a good enough reason to say, I never would have bought a shor like that. Of course it is. So that would be true even Aliba de Beit Hillel. Whereas Shmuel, you're right, it does seem that Shmuel is going according to Beit Hillel. But the truth is that in this case, he could actually work out Aliba de Beit Shammai, because nobody does that to find an actual shor, which is the type of shor that's used for radya. Nobody checks that kind of thing, please. I mean, the chances of it are so low that in this case, even Beit Shammai could agree. Therefore, it's not really nogea. The machlok is Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel. Then the Mishnah says, you're allowed to sell him a measurement for the sa'ah, even though he has a goren, and it would be possible that he's using it for his goren. It's not a problem. So Rav Acha said over, b'shem Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chiya, who said it in the shame of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you actually lent a guy a sa'ah, and you go over to see him, and there he is, being modeded by, and he's using it to actually package the grains that he's going to be taking to the store and be selling peres hashviyas, God help me, why did I lend him my sa'ah, you say? You don't have to sit there and take it back from him. And you're not mechuyev eno zakuklo, because you didn't sell it for that at the time that, lend it at this time, at the time that you lent it, you were not being over on Lifnei Iver, and you were not being over on Misayei de Ovri Avera. And because of that, you're not mechuyev to take it from him. I mean, obviously, if you're able to give him tochocha, you should give him tochocha. That's not the point. But it's not considered to be your responsibility. Kol shekein b'maskiralo. And for sure, where you had already rented it to him, I understand there's a strong hava mina that you're doing him a favor by lending it. You always take it back. Okay, but you're not mechuyev to take it back. Kol shekein, if there was already a monetary transaction, you're not mechuyev to go and undo the monetary transaction and get it back from him. That for sure, you're not mechuyev. And now we continue on. We don't even have our Richie here today, but we will go on. Find on the Halakha Mishnah. This brings us up to Halakha Dalit. So the next issue that we're talking about is, of course, the same idea. However, there are other things besides tools and implements that could be sold in a way that causes a chilul shviyas. What about the kind of things that are used to process foods of shviyas? Over here, neighbors usually lend out their things to a neighbor. Now, suppose you have a woman who is careful about Shemitah, and she has a neighbor who is not so careful of Shemitah. So is she allowed to lend out those type of things that are going to be used in the kitchen of the woman who is not careful on Shemitah? She'll use these things to actually work with perishvias that are there after the time of Biur and that were taken by Isser and so on. Or does she have to worry in the same way that you have to worry about lending your plow and your tractor to a guy that's going to be working his field? Maybe the woman has to be worried about lending something that could be used for doing an avera on shviyas. So let's say this person, your neighbor, is not careful about biur. Or let's say she takes in more than she has a right to take in. Nonetheless, mashallah tishala chavirta chashuda la shviyit, even though she is chashuda, you can lend her a nafa, which is a sifter, a kevara, which is a sieve, a rechayim, for grinding the grain, a tanur, for baking the bread that's made with this grain, even though all of these things could be used for things that were usher for her to have during Shviyas, we are not assuming that that's what they're used for, and we will assume that, listen, why should I think the worst? But don't actually go and work with her. Havalot tavor, don't do the cleaning of the peres and don't do the actual grinding of the grain, lo titchanima, because over there she's being oseket in the actual pu'ula of the avera, which may be an avera, then we're more makpid. The same thing is true when you have two women who are neighbors. One of them is an eshes chaver. She's very careful on having everything meisert properly, and she's also very careful not to be metame things that are going to be used for giving as truma or as chala, which has the same thing as truma. So during, here we're not talking about Shemitah anymore, we're just moving on to a general halacha of where it would be considered misayaya de ovri avera, that an eshet chaver should be careful, but nonetheless, she's allowed to give, the neighbor who needs to borrow something like a nafa and a kavara, she can lend that to her, even though she is actually perhaps being osekes and doing things that are osur. Now the question is, most include nafa, kavara, and the rest of the things that we mentioned, right? Which would include even the tanur. The reason we don't mention the tanur is because what are you going to do? If she's not makbet on Tuma Vatira, you have no way of making that tanur tahar, because you can't be tovel klicheres, and therefore the only thing you'd be able to do is to break the tanur. And even when it comes to a rechaim, which it doesn't mention over, you can lend her a rechaim. Rechaim is also very, very difficult for you to be able to clean out all of the grain from it, because it has all of those little holes which achieve the grinding. So because of that, it's also very difficult for you to get it cleaned out. And in this case, you can even go ahead and do the actual maisep of possibly avera, which is to be boreret, tochenet, miraketet ima. Yes, that you can do. Why? That's because, remember, anything that has to do with maiser, rov ameyaretz or maasrim. So it's a very big chumrah, the way that we treat the inyanim of dmai, because of that, we didn't answer even working with her. However, when it comes to the issue of Tuma, there were makbid. So Misha Tatil Hamayim, once she puts the water into the mixture that's going to become her dough, she should not help her at all. Loti Gaetzla. Because once she put the water in, now already it's Mukshar Lekabel Tuma. When this Eshes Amaoretz goes ahead and she works with the Isa, it's going to be metame an isa that was mukhsheret for challah, because this was meant to be taken challah from. And that means that you are being metame something that is going to be given to a kohen as challah betuma. Ein machzikin yidei ovrei avera. You're not allowed to help them with your own hands. But in all of the cases that we were matir, don't think that we're very happy being matir, because the truth is, we would actually... Meik Alon, you're once again, you've slipped into out of mute. Okay. So the thing to do, therefore, is Meik Radin, don't lend it to her. She should feel that people are makbid not to even lend her something that she could use for an avera. However, the reason that we were matir all of these things is not because it's really the right thing to do. It's because, again, of measuring the loss against the gain. And in this case, Neidar Kei Shalom, we were matir. So Lo Amru here, all of these inyanim, Elam Neidar Kei Shalom. Because we don't want people to end up hating their neighbors. And as we saw before, once we mentioned this Dar Kei Shalom, we mentioned Dar Kei Shalom that we had spoken about earlier in the Masechah, which is that Machzikim Yidei Goyim B'Shvies Merboel Machlokas, how much is meant by Machzikim. But anyway, you know, we tell them, do a good job, you know, or have hatzlocha, have a lo yidei Yisrael. V'shalim b'shlomam, and in general, we always go out of our way to be polite and to say shalom to a goy, even though we don't really believe that we should give shalom to b'avdei avodah zarah. But b'pnei darkei shalom, we bring again here the things that we mentioned earlier, that b'pnei darkei shalom, we were matir all of these things. Okay, Rabbosai, Baruch Hashem, that brings us to an end of Daf Mem. We're making some progress over here, finally, Baruch Hashem, in Pesachat Shviyas. We want to thank Gavi. Gavi, where are you? In Shvitzaria Haktana? Even the Galil? By Birya, you get such a beautiful view of the Kinneret? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wait, that's cool.
There wasn't the Kinneret, there was a cloud cover over the Chula Valley.
Oh, that makes sense. It looked like, the Kinneret from Sri Tzari Akhtana. Okay, wonderful. Wow. So amazing and exciting to be with you on such days. Ah, what a schus, what a schus. Astounding. Yishar
koach. I'm not competing with Gabi. But I didn't get a chance to stand up. Yomi, I'm on my way to the Har Grizim.
Of all days to go to Har Grizim, to join up with, I don't understand, with the Kusim, the Yaina and Har Grizim.
We have to be careful not to mix with them. Yeah.
Okay, Mamish, Baruch Hashem, we should be Zeche, both of those things, to do it as, again, as a bris of Arvas, and acceptance of Kol HaTorah Kulo. And we should be zeicha to be able to walk with Gabi every day in an Eretz Yisrael shalem, without any oivim, without any ugliness, filled with water, filled with hope, filled with future, and filled with the Ashras HaShchina. Be'ezus Hashem, be karov.